I found a quote today. Angela had stopped in before, and I was sharing with him. And I have a book that was actually put out by George Sweeting. Some of you older, I don't mean that as chronological, but some of you older Christians may remember the name George Sweeting. He was heavily involved in evangelism and education. He has this quote from a man by the name of Dante Gabriel Rossetti. You like it? So do I. So do I. And here's the quote. It says, "The worst moment for an atheist is when he is really thankful and has nobody to thank." It's true, isn't it? And the reason why I chose that quote is because I really want us to get back to the foundation of what it means to be thankful. When we look at the life of Jesus, I think if anybody had a hard life, we can say Jesus certainly did. For the 3.5 years of his ministry, he was homeless. He didn't have a whole lot of money. People wanted to kill him. And you know how the story goes, and yet he was thankful. Paul, from prison, wrote some great letters to the churches of Philippi, Ephesians, Colossians, and I'm missing one. But not Galatians, not from prison. But there were 4 epistles he wrote from prison. We could tell it's getting late. In those 4 epistles, one of the main things of each epistle was be thankful. He says, "I've learned to be thankful with much. I've learned to be thankful with little." And he's writing this from prison, and he was actually in prison 2 or 3 times. I can't quite figure that out, at least 2 times. But in one of those prisons, he was in a mud pit, rat infested. And he's still rejoicing, you know, God. Apostle John, after he was put on trial for being a pastor, sound familiar? When Fox's Book of Mormon says that he was sentenced to be boiled alive in oil. Get rid of this guy who claims that Jesus is king. So the historians record that he was put in a kettle of oil in the public square so people can witness his execution. And secular historians record the oil didn't touch him. Well, now the politicians and the Pharisees had a problem. What do we do with this guy? So they decided to exile him to the island of Patmos. And it's funny, as I talk to people, Revelation has been coming up lately, and I think in view of a lot of things that's been going on in our country and the world. But when they ask me about the island of Patmos, which is a Greek island, they picture palm trees and sand and, you know, kind of a nice island. That wasn't the picture at all. It was a desolate, rocky, excuse the expression, godforsaken place. And yet we read in that first chapter from a 90-year-old man, an apostle, that on the Lord's Day, Sunday, he got up and he went to worship. In those horrible circumstances, he went to worship because he was thankful. And God granted him an incredible vision that we know of as Revelation. And so, the foundation of our thanks has to be a grateful response to the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, his character, and his character is who he is. Any other basis for thanksgiving ends up being false, because what we tend to do is we only then give thanks for our creature comforts, don't we? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves. I want to kind of separate those and say whatever God has given you, and you can say, Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for the heat, the showers. You know, those are blessings. Will we agree on that? All right. If, God forbid, those were taken away through some circumstances, will we still be thankful? I think that's a legitimate question that we have to ask. And so I want to read a couple of Psalms to you as I'm going to open this up to kind of give some testimony for things for which we're grateful. Psalm 100, one of my favorite Psalms. I didn't realize this when I picked this. It also happens to be a song that has become a classic within Christian churches. Ever hear Shout to the Lord? Okay. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. This is a command, by the way. This is not an option. So when I get people who say to me, I don't like singing, you know, don't sing, shout. I don't care. I mean, that's the command of scripture. Shout. Shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. Before I get off of that, can anybody tell me the difference between joy and happiness? Is there a difference? Yeah. Okay. You can be joyful when you're sad. You can be joyful in prison. You can be joyful on see, happiness is circumstantial, isn't it? Right? I'm happy my car started, right? You know, I'm happy I didn't have a flat tire. I'm happy a couple of weeks ago we had no hot water, you know? I'm happy we had hot water. But joy comes from the inside. And the only way joy and peace can truly be realized is with a settled relationship with God. Unfortunately, we've seen the rioting, you know, from Ferguson and the aftermath of all of that. And, you know, I hear people shouting, we need peace. We need, we need justice. We need peace. And I understand the outcry, and I'm not criticizing them, but we continue to miss the point in that joy can only happen, and one of the byproducts of joy is peace. It could only happen if we have a settled, dynamic, living relationship with God. Does that make sense? Okay. Otherwise, we're going to be miserable. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge? He was rich. He was greedy. All right. If he wanted to make more money, he could have opened a Walmart at Christmas time. Seriously. He was an exploiter. He was just out for himself. He had everything you can have. He had wealth. He had status. From a world perspective, but he was one of the most miserable men going. You know that, right? You realize the story of the Christmas Carol with Scrooge is the story of a man who had an encounter with the Holy Spirit on Christmas Eve. I don't know if you realize that. And and only God can change the heart of a man. How that happened, how that transition happened, so that when God took him on that journey that night, through those visions, if you will, he woke up a different man. What you don't see in some of the renditions, it's only in the book, is that when he wakes up, and you know the story, he gives his housekeeper a raise, you know, he's acting crazy because he's never experienced that joy and happiness before. He's really kind of acting crazy. She thinks he lost it. He gives the kid on the street money to go get the goose, and pays him extra for doing it if he gets it back in, you know, or gets it to the Cratchits in time. But what the movies don't show you and what's in the book is that he got dressed and he went to church. And he worshiped, singing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And then when he got out of church, he started throwing money at people. It's the same type of thing here. His wealth didn't produce any joy, didn't produce any happiness. In fact, it made him more miserable. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's pretty forward, straightforward, right? Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is what? Who? God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sometimes we want to flip that, and we think we're God, right? And we have to tell the Lord what he can do to make us happy. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks and praise his name, for the Lord is his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, go right to the next psalm, okay? Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice. Remember I told you that happiness is in, centered in the character of God? I will sing of your love and what? Justice. Holiness. To you, Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I will have no part of it. Isn't that's a really neat vow, isn't it? And he says, I hate the faithless people. I hate what the faithless people do. I will have no part of it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Oof. You know, it's talking about gossip, right? Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. You have a picture here of the psalmist, who's David in this case, who's saying, Lord, I'm giving myself totally to you. I'm giving myself totally to you. I'm surrendering to you. And Lord, it is my desire to have no part of anything that's evil or vile. Okay? And not only that, Lord, people who do such things, they're not going to have any part of my life. And David made his mistakes. David wasn't perfect. But I think what you're seeing here in worship is a chance to experience God, experience his love, know his justice, his righteousness, and confess before God and say, you know, Lord, I understand, and I want the young people to hear this especially, I understand the company I keep matters. If I keep bad company, you know, it could happen. I could be drawn right into it. He says, Lord, I want that to happen because I want to honor you. And then Psalm 139. How many of you know Psalm 139? I'm just curious. Precious psalm. I think part of having joy is being honest with God. We all have our failures. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our sins that need to be dealt with. And David writes this, and would you listen to this? He says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. What did Adam do? Well, in fact, what did Adam and Eve do after Adam sinned and God came back into the garden? What did they do? They hid. Right? How senseless. Because God knew. He knew. And David is saying, really, Lord, you've searched me. You know me. In fact, I would imagine David would have said it something like this. You know me better than I do. He says, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. That's any word, by the way, right? You hem me in behind and before, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. You will, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light as you. Right? Then he goes on. Your eyes, this blows me away. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before we were conceived, he saw us. In fact, Jeremiah says the same thing in that opening salve between him and God. God, when he called Jeremiah, says, before you conceive, I called you. I called you. One of the things that we can be thankful for as believers in Christ is that every one of us has a calling on our life that was determined long before we were thought of. And God determined it. So every life has purpose. Did you catch that? Every life has purpose. And that comes into being, into importance to know that every life, no matter, what we struggle with, either physically or emotionally or spiritually, every life has purpose as we follow God. Another way of saying that is God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't. Look at the rest of the psalm with me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Isn't that the honesty of David, huh? Lord, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Some of them are trying to kill me, David says. You know, could you take care of them? I love David's honesty. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And see if this doesn't ring a bell. Search me, God, and know my heart. There's a hymn written like that, right? Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be what? Any offense in me, and lead me in the everlasting. Huh. If you are ever in a situation where you feel down or you feel like maybe God forgot you, or if you feel that you have nothing to be grateful about, I'd like to challenge you to get a hold of the Psalms and just pray them back to God. And you'll find yourself being thankful. I got one of the old hymnals out. You remember those, right? And typically at an offering, at least in the old days, Sharon, you'd correct me if I'm wrong, you heard this almost every Sunday. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The other song that became popular, and this is a more modern song, but still in a lot of the old hymnals, was Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what the Lord has done. I suspect we're too busy for that sometimes. I suspect we get caught up in life to do that. And my encouragement tonight is periodically just sit down and count your blessings. If you don't feel like doing it, do it until you feel like doing it. All right? Because once you start counting your blessings, they seem to come to mind, and you say, okay, Lord, I got this for which I have to be thankful for. This I wish, for which I have to be thankful for. If you're in the habit of journaling, I don't know if you are, but if you're in the habit of journaling, it's good to write those things down in those times. Is he leaving? Oh, okay. Okay. So here's what I want to do now. I want us to count our blessings. All right. In light of who we are in Christ, in light of our incredible blessings and that God has for us, in light of the joy that we have in our relationship with God, I really want to count our blessings. So I want to open this up to you. And Bill, I'm going to switch.